welcome back to another episode of Confessions of a Crabby Christian,
a Misfit Media Network production.
I am your host and resident Crabby Christian, Blake, and every week I get to have the coolest conversations with incredible people about all the things most Christians are still not sure we're allowed to talk about. So if you've been looking for a place to land with all your crap, and for someone to just be honest about what it looks like to walk through this Christian life, well, you've come to the right place. Pull up a seat, pop in your headphones and tune out your kids, and come hang out with me and a guest for the authentic conversations that you have been looking for. Abby, welcome to Confessions of a Crappy Christian.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
I literally just had to be like, wait, stop. Let's start recording, because it was all, we were already having the best conversation. I was like, wait. Okay. I'm not even recording yet. So I want you to introduce yourself first. We have connected online. We both are in the same space, have the same heart for people, the same heart for Jesus. We talk about different things, but I love learning from people like you and I'm super excited about this conversation. Your platform online is Classically Abby, and you kind of talk about this idea of being classic, which some people may be like, what does that mean? And you were just about to explain kind of the different worlds that exist. So educate us. Tell me the things.
Well, first of all, I do want to just do a quick clarification. I am actually an Orthodox Jew.
Okay.
So we're in the Judeo-Christian values sect of the world, which I absolutely love. And so many of my friends are Christian, and I absolutely love that. So starting with classic, I wanted to just define that, which is to say, I believe that being classic is about becoming the best version of yourself in every possible way. So constantly improving and constantly trying to accept reality for what it actually is, which is something I think a lot of people struggle with in today's day and age.
Uh-huh.
So if you can accept reality, then you can actually start the journey towards becoming better yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we were about to talk about before you were like, let's press record,
yeah.
is the difference between trad and classic. So I talk about traditional values and traditional womanhood, but there is a sect online of women who consider themselves like hashtag trad. It's a movement.
Okay.
Now, hashtag trad, I'm not a huge fan of, because what that basically means is that you're going to have the woman at home, the man has to work, there is absolutely no room for anything to be different there. Woman is submissive in a way that, and I know that that's a very Christian concept, is like wife being submissive, but they mean it in a way that I do not agree with, which is that a woman can't offer like criticism or offer any kind of growth to her husband without it crossing over into being not submissive anymore.
Hmm.
These are not things I agree with. My worldview is a little bit more traditional values. I think that children benefit from having their mom's home, but if a woman has to work, then she absolutely should. First thing that needs to be done is have the family provided for, right?
Right.
So being classic is actually a lot more about trying to embrace womanhood and femininity in this modern era.
Yeah, which I think is super necessary, because you do have the world in more ways than one and louder than ever saying women and men are the same.
Oh my gosh.
We're not even going to get like, not even the biology. I don't even mean biologically. I mean, women can do the same things as men. Women have the same strengths as men. And it's almost, it's crazy how far that shifted, where if you don't believe that, now you're like a TERF or you're ancient or something. I'm like, hold up. You want to stand my husband who's out there and I next to each other and say we're the same? I can't open a pickle jar. Like, we are not the same. But I have some strengths that he doesn't have as a woman, right? There are things that I bring to the table that he cannot. My intuition's better than his. And he'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so I think that it sucks that, and I don't mean this in an ugly way, but it, I love that you're doing this in kind of a trying to hit the middle conversation versus swinging so far. And I understand wanting to reject the beliefs of the world. I understand wanting to be like, okay, that's not it. That is not it, to say that we're the same. We're supposed to function the same. We serve the same purposes. But like you were saying, I'm like, have we taken this a little far? Maybe some people, because I was telling you before we started recording, I've had largely negative experiences with a lot of these conversations online where I come to it very naively and very like, oh, I want to learn how to make bread. I want to learn how to keep my house better. Like, I want to learn how to genuinely like create a more peaceful home environment. And I get, it's like I get slapped in the face because I work, or because my husband right now, my husband doesn't. I make enough money that he's able to be home. And that's been such a gift for our family. Or even it'll swing into like, you don't cover your head or you wear shorts. And I'm like, that's like, I 100% know that I hold convictions that other people don't. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's okay. I think the problem comes when we're saying, if you don't do and believe what I believe, you're wrong.
100%. And I think that one of the things that I actually just released the first episode of my podcast today.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited about it. Yeah. I'm trying to move more into the podcasting space because YouTube isn't the most friendly to creators like me, as you might imagine.
Yeah.
Mostly because I'm open about my politics. If I was just a traditional woman, then I would be safe. But because yes. I'm open about what I believe and what side of the aisle I'm on, now we're in dangerous territory.
Yep.
But as far as what we were just talking about, yeah. And I think that it's actually really harmful to do that and to direct that at people. So as regard what I was going to say, which is my podcast today, people often think I'm being judgy because I say like, oh, this is how I think people should live.
Right.
Now, when I say that, it's not coming from a place of I judge you. I think you're worse than I am. It's because I think that having traditional values will make you happier in the long run.
Right. Right.
So I'm trying to guide women towards making choices I think will fulfill them more. Right. Getting married, having children. Like, I think that's a great thing that all women should actually work towards. And I'm not going to judge you if you're different than I am or think that you're a terrible person. I'm sharing what I think is going to give you the best chance of happiness. And yeah. That means that, I mean, you should think that too, right? However you're living, that's how what you're trying to like sell the good word.
Do you even believe what you believe if you don't think other people, like that it would be better for other people?
Yes.
And look, like I disagree. I don't think that all women should get married and have kids because I think that there's a lot of scripture about singleness and the benefits of it. But I understand your heart in that because you look at the world and you look at culture and it's don't like hustle, kill, business, success, don't prioritize relationship. Kids are a burden, you know? So it is like, oh, like you're like, okay, that is wrong.
Right.
Do not disagree with that. And I do agree with, I mean, I got married really young, had kids really young, have no regrets. I'm so thankful. First of all, I think it saved me from a lot of heartache and a lot of pain of my 20s. I mean, I got married at 22. Mm-hmm. I had my first kid by the time I was 23 and a half.
Amazing.
So like, I'm thankful that that's my story and I'm thankful that that's my journey. And I agree with you. When I talk to younger women and they're like, do you wish you would have traveled in your 20s or whatever, I'm like, not really. Like, I'm good. Like, I like the decisions I made, you know? But I think it's the ability to be like, this is what was right for me. Mm-hmm. And it actually might be right for you. So let me tell you about it.
Yes, yes. And the thing that I always think is like interesting is I made my channel, I made my podcast, I have my, you know, my pages. You have to choose to come and
Ooh.
See it.
Are we opening that can of worms? That's a can of worms.
Generally, that's the case.
Yeah. Well, and okay, look, your content's probably pretty polarizing. Mine is too. Like when you take a hard stance on something, it is polarizing for people. But I'm constantly reiterating when this sound makes me sound like such a jerk, but it's really what I believe. When you followed me, when you started consuming my content, you signed up to hear my opinions. I didn't sign up to hear yours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. If I wanted to hear your opinions, I would follow you or I would listen to your podcast. So if you want to come here and listen to somebody you disagree with because you want to hear the other side with an open heart and an open mind, I freaking love that. That's like one of my favorite things on the planet. If you're coming here because you want to pick apart my beliefs and tell me I'm a bad person, I have no time for you.
Yeah. Well, there is this inner, okay. So my husband, he like, you know, he's involved as I think most women creators' husbands are. And so he'll see what I like get I have horrible comments. If you ever are interested, Same. You just want to like binge some horrible comments, head to some of my older videos because, oh my goodness. And there's this guy, I don't know who the other creator is, but he started calling his haters and his trolls his interns because they're the ones who are like boosting his engagement. So that's what I say. I'm like, oh, my interns who literally are the first people to comment on my videos are here. Uh-huh. They're ready to show up. They've got their notifications turned on. Lucky me, I've got my interns and they're making sure that I get the number of hits I want.
That is such a good, I love that because it can be, I think when you're, and we're going to move on from like the content creation conversation and talk about being classic, but this is so interesting to talk to another creator about it.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
I think when you're trying, and I do see this in your content, when you're trying to do it well, when you're trying to show your heart, when you're trying to like not cut people off at the knees, just share how you feel, and then people are still mad. It's like, well, then I'm just going to show up and be a jerk. Like if you're going to be mad either way, then like, I'm going to let it fly. And that doesn't look like Jesus. And that is never a good default to get to, but it can be really discouraging when you are creating the content. I mean, I don't ever come to a podcast episode and I'm like, all right, let's just see what happens. Like I prep and I work and I take the time to have the conversation or record the solo episode. And like, I'm doing all of these things to try to, for me, a lot of it is create solidarity for people who are grappling and trying to figure out some of the same things. And to just get crapped on by people that disagree, it's like, do you have nothing better to do with your time? Like, why are you here? But I love the idea of being like, thanks for the hit. Thanks for the views. Like, you're working for me.
It helps.
It is. It's a great mindset shift. I love that. I want to hear a little bit about like, how did you get to Classically Abby? Did you grow up Orthodox Jew? Like you did. Okay. So like this has this kind of, did you get to see this modeled by your mom?
So no.
Okay.
And to be clear, I have literally the best relationship with my mom. She's outside right now walking with my baby so that I can record.
Yeah.
And she knows exactly like where I come from. We've had a million conversations about this and it's awesome because we do come from like different, theoretically different backgrounds, but also like we've come to different ideologies in some senses.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to talk to her about it. But I've had a journey where I grew up Orthodox and then I pursued opera singing. That's my background. I was an opera singer. And being in the arts is really what propelled me to this, I would say, because what ended up was that I was surrounded by people who didn't share my views, but who talked really, really openly about being on the left and didn't want to ever hear anything from the other side. Like you could get blacklisted if you said something that was not what they believed.
Yep.
And at the same time, I was becoming less observant. I was starting to practice Judaism, like Orthodox Judaism, less and less because it was kind of required in the field that I was in. And so I started buying into leftist ideology. Like I was just hearing it all the time.
Yeah.
And I was surrounded by it and I was starting to practice it. Like I was, you know, oh, girl boss, maybe I won't get married. Maybe I won't have kids. Maybe I'll just put everything into my career. And then I met my husband and I went on a 10-week program to Aspen for the Aspen Music Festival. And that should have been the best 10 weeks of my life, right? Because I was literally at the pinnacle of my career. Like musical festival, that's one of the best music festivals in the world. And I had just met my husband and I was so sad that I wasn't near him. And I remember getting back and thinking, I want to be near my family. I want to have children. I want to be around with them. I don't want to be traveling for 6 weeks at a time to perform and constantly be away from the people I love. And that was when I started moving away from opera and into, well, what really matters? I actually had like an existential crisis at 24.
Yeah.
Where I was like, why am I doing opera? What is it for? What is this for? And it was at the time, it was because I liked it.
Yeah.
And that wasn't enough for me. Yeah. That wasn't a good enough reason for me. And I needed to do something that I felt passionately about as far as having a mission. And so I moved into classic and trying to teach women how to be women. That was kind of where I started. How to be a woman when it's kind of out of style and out of vogue to be feminine. And I had one of the things about that was I always liked makeup. I always liked hair. That was stuff my mom never did. She never did her hair. She never did her makeup. She was actually the breadwinner. My dad stayed at home. And she didn't really teach us how to clean the house. She cooked, but it wasn't like, it was not done with any craft. It was like two steps. Like if that was, if any more than two steps, we're done. And I was really interested in learning how to enjoy the beauty in homemaking.
Right.
And so I started teaching myself, and on my own journey, that was how I started. I wanted to share it. I wanted to share like, what am I learning? How can I share that with the people that don't know either? And as I grew and, you know, became a mom, then it started moving into motherhood content. And then it started changing like my feelings about how important it is to be around your kids.
Yeah.
So that's sort of my, the whole from start to finish where I'm at.
That is so interesting. And I think, so obviously I grew up in a Christian home. So I think we've had probably had very different life experiences, but I will say our life experiences are actually extremely similar.
Hmm.
My dad was a breadwinner, but he worked 24-hour shifts, so he was home all the time. So when he was home, he was kind of the homemaker. Both of my parents were. But like, and I've had the same conversations with my mother about like, she didn't teach us how to cook. She still doesn't wear makeup. You know, like there wasn't a lot of that. And what gender are your kids?
I just got one son.
Okay. So I have daughters, and that is a really interesting experience. You know, first of all, getting to watch my mom be a grandmother is the best thing ever. But then also, I mean, they're only 5 and 8. So we're not quite into the like puberty, really like entering womanhood, girlhood, whatever. But even just now, like accessories are so much fun. Headbands and earrings and cute dresses. And my mom just genuinely, I think, didn't have the capacity for that when we were younger. And she'll tell you that now. She ran a dance studio and that was like, took everything for her. But she will tell you, like retrospectively, that she wished she would have slowed down earlier, that she wished she would have been like investing. And it's kind of that cheesy quote where it's like, you'll never regret spending more time with your kids, right? The office will always be there. And I think that there are so many women like me or like us who didn't have that example necessarily, that just, I just need guidance. It's not that I don't want it. It's not that I think it's wrong. I think some of us forget it's an option, honestly. Like the being like life is so crazy. You're like, oh wait, I could be enjoying this. Hold on. You know what I mean?
No, it's so true. I mean, one of the things that I've been realizing is really just the different eras that we grew up in, right? Like my mom was growing up in the, not even in the shadow, during feminism and its rise.
Right.
So like she has been admitting to me more and more how like she didn't come to all of our, you know, shows and recitals when we were kids because she didn't want to be seen as the woman in her office who had to like leave to go see her kids and see like what they were doing, and that she really didn't like being pregnant, even though my mom literally had no morning sickness.
Rude.
Whatever. My and she had 4 pregnancies and never had morning sickness. Whatever.
Okay.
She didn't like being pregnant because it made her feel like a woman in a man's world when she was at work. And she has expressed this to me more and more, just how much of that was like a competition with trying to be a man at that time.
Yeah.
And now we're getting all this pushback from women being like, I don't want that. I want to be a woman. And what that means doesn't necessarily mean I can't do some of the things men do, but it does mean that I'm going to do it in a different way.
Right.
It does mean that there's a, you know, the whole, I've been thinking about this more recently, but just like, you know, the whole wage gap thing is such a lie because women choose to be in less high performing jobs because they want to be around for their kids more. Like this is more, it's just natural. It's not anybody forcing women into these positions.
Well, and I think it's also, who are you listening to? Are you letting the world tell you what's important? Or are you listening to God tell you what's important? Because those two things are going to be very different. And it's not that there won't be some overlap. I'm not saying that culture is dead 100% wrong. Providing for your family is important. Is it as important as culture makes it out to be? No. But I think that there are some things that it's, you're like, oh gosh, you're so close. You almost got it. You're right there. That I think that it would be a difficult but beneficial like gut check for people to ask themselves, am I prioritizing what the world has told me to prioritize or what I feel God calling me to prioritize?
My gosh. And as soon as you check in with faith, I mean, really, it makes such a huge difference because there are moments for all of us, right, where we're so overwhelmed with all of the things we think we have to do.
Yeah.
And then we take a second and you like sit down and for me, I pray, right? And I think, okay, what do I really need to get done?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's just so clear that like, okay, my focus right now needs to be my son.
Yeah.
Like that's what I need to do right now. Or maybe it's that I need to just take a deep breath, collect myself so that I can be better at everything I'm trying to do as opposed to running around like a chicken with my head cut off.
Right.
And the thing that always speaks to me, and I never remember the actual name of it for Christians. For us, it's the Woman of Valor. We read it on, we read it every Friday night. It's a song and it's called Eish Eschayil.
Psalm 31.
That to me is the thing I always look at is like, yeah. How can I be that woman? How can I express that vision of womanhood and godliness in my everyday life? And that's why I absolutely love that we sing it every Friday night because it's a reminder. It's like my husband sings it to me. So it's like, this is what I'm looking for you. And it also, on a different note, kind of reminds you that there's so much less importance on the visual aspect of womanhood. Now, as somebody who like loves doing my hair and makeup and thinks that, you know, it's important to take care of yourself, I also need the reminder of this is way less important than everything else you're doing.
Yes. So I actually, there is an entire chapter that is a deep dive on that woman, the Woman of Valor, and what that means. And because it, in Christian circles, it's largely weaponized against women to make it like, kind of like the trad swing of the only value you bring is in your home.
Right.
Versus you have so much value to bring in your home and it can overflow into other areas, right? Like, which is more what you talk about. Because the reality is if that's what you believed, you wouldn't be here right now.
Right.
Right? Like if you believe the only value women can bring is in their homes, you wouldn't be having this conversation with me right now. You'd be tending to your home. Mm-hmm. Like there is, the two can exist in tandem. That this, I do believe this is the most important work I'll ever do. Period. Full stop. Being a wife and a mom, most important work I'll ever do. I am capable of doing other good and holy and God honoring work as well.
Yeah.
But it does require self-control and boundaries. And like you're saying, taking a moment to reassess what's important. And you and I both, our jobs are online.
Yeah.
Which means it's always there. It is always waiting for you. So for me, I pretty much don't get online from like 4 to 8. Because it's when my kids are home and I want to just be mom.
No, that's the big thing is that it comes down to prioritization. Mm-hmm. Your work can be so meaningful. I really believe that. I think that you can have super meaningful experiences in your work and have purpose and fulfillment in it. But if it's coming at the cost of your children, if it's coming at the cost of your relationship with your husband, then you need to reevaluate.
Yeah.
Because
I agree.
They're like I will say my mom, she worked and she supported my family. So that number one was, you know, the most important thing was that she was providing and we needed her to provide. But we also had an incredible relationship with my mom. She was always home in the evenings. We are blessed because we have, and you are blessed in it for you as well, because we have Sabbath. So she would be for us, no electronics, Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. So like nothing, it was just focused on family once a week, totally focused. And then Sundays we're dedicated to like going and doing something fun. So my mom always, even though she says she didn't come to the recitals and whatever, she said, you know, really, I think most of that was something I regret for myself because I don't think you knew. And I said, I didn't know.
Which that's such a gift, like remembering that your kids are not going to remember every single thing you do. Like it's going to be okay.
Such a gift.
So I want to talk about modesty because I think that's a really interesting subject that I genuinely... And this is people that listen to this podcast often are going to be shocked by this statement. I don't have any big opinions on it. I really don't. I'm kind of like, if I'm being honest, I've always had big boobs. So I've kind of covered up because it's uncomfortable. Like, I am not comfortable with them being out. Right. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I also like wear shorts and I wear a bikini and, mm-hmm. you know, do all of that kind of stuff. So I, you know, consumed some of your content on modesty. And I think you like largely land in a really, I was expecting to listen to your content and be like, are you serious right now? And I was like so pleasantly surprised. I was like, oh, wait, I agree with her. Okay. But I also now, going back to the beginning of the conversation, I didn't realize that there were like different sectors of this like traditional housewife thing.
Well, I don't know that anyone else has made these, drawn these distinctions as far as being classic and trad. Like trad, everybody knows about, but being classic, that's my own term that I use to differentiate myself from those people who I don't agree with.
I think it's very refreshing to talk to someone and be like, wait, I agree with almost everything you're saying. I really do. Like, mm-hmm. I agree that this is important. I agree about priorities. It's almost like having a nice redemptive experience. You know, with
that's more. The goal.
That is the goal. And I think that you really are achieving it. But I want to hear, tell me your thoughts on modesty.
Okay. So I have some interesting things I want to mention here because I've been seeing some stuff about modesty lately that has not super sat well with me. So I want to address it. I'm excited that we're getting to talk about it.
Yeah.
Basically, there's a few different layers to modesty for me. There's the layer that's for yourself. Mm-hmm. And then there's the layer that's for outside people. Mm-hmm. So the layer that's for yourself is that if you respect your body and you love your body, you mm-hmm. want to share it with somebody who is going to love it and respect it. You don't want some random schmo on the street who gives no craps about you to have access to something that's like very much a part of you.
Yes.
So I love the idea of modesty from that perspective. You are a princess. You are a queen. Treat your body with the respect it deserves and mm-hmm. love dressing it. I mean, one of the things that I have learned as my body has changed and ebbed and flow after having a baby is like not having to dress in the trendy, skimpy clothes means that I can love my body through all of its changes and shifts because I'm not trying to like fit into something that I'm uncomfortable in. Exactly. If I'm wearing something that's more modest, I'm like, I know I look good in whatever I wear because I'm not trying to show my stretch marks. Like I'm not trying to show if I've gained an extra 5 pounds, which I have because hello, motherhood.
Right.
And I can love my body through all of it. So that's the part of it that's for you and dressing in a way that you love. Mm-hmm. And also the fun and excitement of trying to like find clothing that fits within certain boundaries. I also, by the way, am not an advocate of dressing like Orthodox religious standards of modesty for everyone. So the Orthodox religious standards of modesty, if we're getting very strict, because I don't even keep the strictest levels, is wearing skirts that cover your knees, wearing shirts that cover your elbows, and wearing shirts that cover your collarbones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's like the highest level of Orthodox practice. I live in a community of modern Orthodox people who wear pants, who wear shirts that not really sleeveless, but cap sleeve, who mm-hmm. wear things that are a little bit like lower. My advice for women who just are kind of starting to dip their toe into modesty is if you can wear shorts that cover the bottom of your butt,
right?
If you can cover your midriff, and if you can not show your cleavage, we're doing great. Like,
yeah,
let's
yeah.
just start there.
Yeah.
As far as it, that second piece of like modesty as regarding other people, if you want to get what you want, which I think most women want a man to take them seriously and to look at them as a prospect for a longer term relationship and not something that's just for a one night stand, then dressing in a way that reflects that is going to end up getting you what you want. And that's 100%. A great thing. There's so many levels to this. I also think that dressing well and dressing in a way that expresses your personality can give, I mean, people have less than a second when they make that first impression, right?
Right.
When you see someone, you have less than a second before you have made a decision about them. The way you dress can actually reflect that. So if you are dressing in a way that's modest, but also reflects your personality, you've already skipped the 5 different like impressions that you could make that are wrong and are giving that person an opportunity to get to know you like that. So that's part of it. But I just think that letting people dress in a way to get what they actually want instead of dressing in a way where they're surprised why a guy only wants to take them home for an evening mm-hmm. is so much more conducive to a happier life. So those are my things about modesty.
Well, and I think that it also, the big shift for me in modesty, which is not something, like I said, that I have a ton of opinions on or talk about a lot, but for me, it was a question of why, mm-hmm. right? Do I want to wear this so that people will look at me? Because I think we have to be honest that that is the human inclination. And if you've never thought that, I don't believe you. Like, I just don't believe you. Am I wearing this because I want people to look at me? And that can be like modest or not. You can judge things up modestly
100%.
And be super shiny and extra, which I love. Like, one of my favorite people is my interior designer. She has the funkiest style. It's my favorite thing in the world. But the why question is that is she is a funky person. Mm-hmm. It is an expression of who she is. This is the stuff she loves. Me, I'm neutrals and like I'm bike shorts and big t-shirts all day, every day. And my husband and I just had this conversation not that long ago. I don't remember what I was wearing. I think I was wearing like bike short and this new oversized sweatshirt that I've gotten and my new Nikes. And I was like, this is when I feel cutest.
I love it.
This is when I feel like the most like myself.
Yeah.
And I think that there's that part of the conversation too, is why? Because I can look back at my younger years. To be fair, I had like 3 of them before I got married. But I look back at my younger years when I maybe did wear more revealing stuff. And I think if we're being honest, I was wearing that stuff because I wanted guys to look at me.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Not because I felt like it made me feel more beautiful, right? But because it caught attention. And I'm not slamming people that feel that way, because I'm saying I get it. I've been that way. But I also think I've always thought of the word modesty and immediately gone like Little House on the Prairie.
I know. It's the frumpsters. It's the froggy problem. It's
yes. And I'm like, there's got to be a cuter way to do this, right? And there is. There 100% is.
This is what I say, that like the most immodest thing is not actually the most modest, but one of the more immodest things is calling attention to your modesty. If you can dress modestly without anybody even knowing that you're doing it,
ooh.
That's the move. That's my
favorite.
That
is the flex.
That's the flex.
Yes. That's such a good point. I do think personally, when modesty becomes the goal, things can get out of whack. When reflecting who you are made new is the goal, then you're hitting your stride.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of women have had that experience. You know, you made the point that your mom grew up in feminism. People our age grew up in its shadow. Right? We grew up in the, no, boys won't be boys. Wear what you want. It's their responsibility, which there's some of that I agree with.
Yeah.
Like a short skirt is not asking for it.
No, God forbid.
Dressing a certain way is not asking for it. The two have to be able to coexist it can get so sticky, and I can already like feel my like PR wheels turning that people are going to think I'm saying something I'm not. But I think you can agree, there is nothing a woman can do to ask to be treated a certain way. And also, if they want to be treated a certain way, there are things that they can do. And the two have to be able to coexist.
I mean,
because
yes,
I can tell you, as someone who has a lot of conversations with rape survivors, very few of them were even remotely in a situation where they quote unquote put themselves there. Mm. Guys are not like, oh, she has a short skirt on. Like, they don't care, right? Like, men that are going to be monsters like that, they will rip pants off the same way they will rip a dress off. They don't care. But it's like this also and.
Well, I think that the thing to
your point.
Yeah. And I think that the way to phrase it for the PR wheels, bad men are always going to be bad men.
Yes.
But you can help good men make better choices by leading them in a path, like by letting them see you and not your body.
Right. One thing that is my biggest gripe with the church is how much we have taken away women's power. Mm. Like, women are freaking powerful. We're incredible.
Yes.
We can grow humans. You can lower your voice when you talk to me, right? But that there is power in making the decision that I'm going to dress and carry myself and prioritize things in a way that demands respect.
100%. 100%.
And I think that like it sounds like that's the heart behind this, is it's not checking off a box of modesty. It's like, no, this is what I get to bring to the table so that you can see and hear like the things that I have to say or what I believe or what I'm about.
100%. The thing that's been bothering me in the conversation about modesty is that if I always address both parts, right, that it is internal, mm-hmm. it's for you, but it is also for what you can elicit from other people. A lot of women, I think, have been raised in an environment where, again, they're fighting reality.
Yes.
And they don't want to hear that second part. And they're like, modesty is just for me. I made the choice to do it because I like it. And anything more than that is an oppressive ideology that you're putting on me.
Right.
And I'm standing off to the side being like, it is for you. And you should do it because you love it. But there is also the reality of the situation. That like, if you dress a certain way, whatever that way is, like as you were describing, funky, modest, immodest, whatever it is, people will react. So choose right. how you can get people to react in general, because there are people who are bad who are going to react a certain way no matter what. I am the exact picture of that, given that I talk about modesty, I dress modestly, that is my whole vibe, and yet the internet is filled with trolls who are constantly objectifying me, are constantly talking about right. my chest, are constantly talking about things that I don't show.
Right.
That does that mean that I should now dress immodestly? For me, absolutely not.
Exactly. Well, and I think, you know, I think we're both pretty like politically inclined. Mm-hmm. Women have to wear a suit on the floor mm-hmm. in Congress. Mm-hmm. Or I'm sorry, they have to wear a blazer. They have to have their shoulders covered. And they have to wear a blazer. And you could look at that and say, that is ancient. That is so outdated. Or you can look at it as a great like equalizer. The men are wearing suits.
Yep.
Put on a blazer if you want to play with the boys. You know what I mean? It is such a nuanced conversation that I think, and this is just the internet in general, like everybody's yelling and saying the same thing. We're all yes. yelling at each other, but at the end of the day, we're coming back to bad men will do bad things, but.
Yes.
Like, why are we mad at each other? We all like.
Can we all agree? I think we do.
We agree. Why are we mad at each other? Okay. So the last thing I wanted to talk about is a total like rabbit trail.
Okay.
I want to talk about Meghan Markle.
Oh, let's do it. I'm ready.
Let's talk about Meghan Markle because. Like I said, I mean, I almost always like go through people's content before I engage with them. And this is another thing that I am a very opinionated person, and I'm cracking up because you talk about some things that I am just not opinionated about. So I'm genuinely intrigued in the conversation. Not that I mean, I'm intrigued in the conversations, even if I do have opinions, but I am so put off by that woman. I'm so put off by that woman. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I haven't watched any of like the documentaries or anything like that, but I saw the snippet where she's making fun of the bow,
yes.
like how you bow mm-hmm. to the queen. My thought is, you're trying to tell me you knew nothing about the royal family before you married into it? Are you serious? You knew nothing about the traditions. You knew nothing. Nobody briefed you. Get out of here.
I know.
That is so unbelievable.
It's legitimately unbelievable. Okay, to be clear, I also haven't watched the documentary, but only because I cannot stand her.
Yeah, I can't do it. There's so many other things I want to do with my time.
Yes, exactly. So here's the story. Number one, and I tell everybody to watch this or to follow her on Instagram. She doesn't know I exist. I just love her content. From Berkshire to Buckingham, she does.
Okay.
She has a Substack. She's like the best, because she'll be like, this is what Meghan said today. This is what she said 2 years ago. That's the exact opposite. And I'm sitting there like,
love yes. it. The internet is forever.
Yes, exactly. And I just really enjoy what she has to say because it puts everything I'm saying into exactly what I like. You can see it. It's there. It's stark.
Yeah.
No, my issue with Meghan is 20-fold, but we'll start with one, which is just that she came into a family and decided that she didn't like the way that things were run and then blew everything up. Like,
yeah.
And acts as though she's totally innocent in all of this, or that she's the new Diana, or that whatever else it is. And, you know, Harry clearly had some trepidation. But I wrote an article about this years ago when they decided to like leave the family. Mm-hmm. Because my feeling is when you get married, husband or wife, your job is to support your spouse through the things their duties.
Yeah. Yeah.
Harry's duty was to be a prince, never to be a king, right. Which is a really hard duty to take on. It's something that you're like constantly just on the edge of the diving board and you're never allowed to jump in.
Right.
But at the same time, you're getting to do incredible charity. You're getting to take care of your nation. And let's be honest, you're a prince. Like, your life can't be that terrible.
You're okay.
Yeah, like you're doing okay. But if he was struggling, her job was to come in and be like, I'm here to support you. We're going to make this an amazing life together.
Yeah.
And we're going to like keep your family together. We're going to work through this. Instead, she came in and she was like, I don't like this. I want to be an actress. I want to move to America. And I think that your family is trash, basically. And she has trashed them publicly so many times at this point.
That's all her interviews are.
That's all her interviews are.
That's my issue. As someone who, I'm going to tiptoe here, okay? As someone who has entered dysfunctional family dynamics, and those dynamics have needed to change, mm-hmm. there is a part of her story that I empathize with. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they're lying across the board. I think that probably being royal makes you a little bit of a jerk.
I get it.
Right? Like, I think that there have probably been things said and done that were inappropriate. There were probably a real lack of boundaries. And probably Meg had the opportunity to come in and help Harry set some of those boundaries. It's the media for me. It's the Netflix documentary. Yes. It's the constant interviews. It's the leave us alone, but here's a sneak peek into our life.
Yeah.
And making fun of it. Like, it's the making fun of the institution. You can think the institution is wrong. You can think that the firm has got it all wrong. They existed before you.
And you married into it.
And you made the choice.
100%. My issue is, you never marry a person. You marry everything that comes with that person. And you make the choice to marry that person. You made the most intense choice to marry a prince. Okay? You made that choice. So when you decide, okay, I'm going to marry a prince. I'm going to become a princess. I'm going to be part of this huge monarchy.
Right.
That is your responsibility now. And on top of that, for her to act like, you know, the tabloids and the press, I'm not saying it's not hard. As somebody who gets a lot of hate.
But like, she's the only one.
Yeah.
Like, they come for Kate. They came for Diana. They came for Camilla. Like, you are not the first nor the last.
100%. And it's like, you have to learn how to deal with it. You have to learn how to handle it. And if that means you don't read the papers, then don't read the papers. But that, again, was something you agreed to. And I have no patience for people who make a choice and then act as if they're the victim of their own choices. Mm-hmm. You can say, mm-hmm. I made a mistake. You can say, I've...
Like, oh, I didn't realize what I was signing up for. Like,
that I can be, okay, like, fair enough. People make mistakes. But this is a choice that you can't blame everyone else for. It's not like you were a young woman either. It's not like you were Diana, who was 18. You were 32. Right. Like,
well, and how much freaking money have they made off of exploiting this man's family?
It's so sad. And
it's so sad.
He's now come out with his book that he's like, I don't know if you've heard about this book. And he's really.
If I never know anything else about Harry Markle, it'll be too soon.
Can we call him Harry Markle? Like, as if he took her last name?
That's all I call him is Harry Markle, because he very much took her last name. She runs that show.
Oh my gosh. Well, and it's so uncomfortable. 100%. I know that this isn't real. Okay. I know it's not really a thing, but in every photo, he's like positioned behind her. Like, she's the mama bear. And I'm like,
it's the optics.
Yeah. The optics aren't great. They're just not.
Do you follow House and Habit?
No.
Oh, you would love her, because she does a ton of commentary. She's always been openly anti-Meghan. It's really funny. But she, every time they take a picture like that, she posts it and talks about how, like, why does it look like Harry is her hairdresser?
Yes, it's so true. Like, what are we doing?
It is weird. Like, the man was a prince. Give him a little. Like, you have completely emasculated this poor dude.
I know.
And he let you.
Yes.
He let you.
Yes.
There's responsibility.
Oh, my gosh. It's really, yes. The whole situation of just, apparently, according to this Instagram account that I mentioned, she said that they never actually said, like, we want our privacy, but they basically made it seem that way to everyone. And so now,
right,
when they're constantly being like, we want our privacy, but also can everyone listen to our story 100 times a day? It's like,
right,
sir.
Enough.
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 Madam, it's really, yes, too far.
It's really too. I saw somebody, I think it was Breitbart News, shared something this morning that was like, please take them back. Oh man, I can't find it. Oh, here it is. Dear UK, please, for the love of God, take them back. Sincerely, America.
It's so
like
true.
I feel that.
Yes,
I feel that in my bones.
Yeah.
Well, this was such a fun conversation, and I feel like I learned a lot. This is the point, right? Is we may have different walks of life, but our lives intersect in so many ways, mm-hmm, that we have so many opportunities to learn from other people. You know, like, you may disagree with how I feel about some things.
Okay. Yes.
It doesn't mean that I need to like unsubscribe and unfollow and never talk to you again. That is what I want to see us bring into 2023 is conversation. And I think a lot of the time you're going to end up finding out you agree a lot more than you don't.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
Tell people where they can like find and follow you online and keep up with you.
Okay. So I would absolutely love if you would just go subscribe to my new podcast.
Yes. What's the name? What's the title of
it? So it's just called the Classically Abby Podcast. It's available everywhere, but because it's new, you're going to be able to find it most easily on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts.
Yep.
But if you want to follow me on all of my other platforms, YouTube is there. I've got Instagram. I've got Twitter. And it's at Classically Abby, absolutely everywhere.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right, that's it for this week. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Crappy Christian Podcast. And hey, by the way, if you super loved it, can you go leave a 5-star review wherever you're listening? That'd be awesome. All right, see you next week.